Hot Business on Hot 1027 with Moneyweb.
Now, you might be aware the Finance Minister, Enoch Godongwana, has introduced an early retirement initiative aimed at reducing the public sector wage bill, with 11 billion rand set aside over the next 2 years to facilitate this. But is this a step towards real reform or just a temporary fix? I want to get a grip on this with Dr. Andrew Donaldson, Senior Research Associate at the Southern African Labour and Development Research Unit, that, by the way, is based at the University of Cape Town. He has written on the need for deeper structural reform. Andrew, good evening to you and welcome. And what's your view? Do you see this as a sustainable solution?
Hello, Jeremy. Well, I think the first thing to say is this is a blunt instrument and it doesn't tell us anything about what functions are going to be retired or amended or reformed, what parts of government are going to be reorganized, what the things are that the Treasury thinks should be defunded in order to enable core public services to be properly funded. And that's the problem when you're in a position of fiscal consolidation. You've been in that position for a long time. The Treasury has been doing work on expenditure reviews of, as I wrote in my little note, over 200 expenditure reviews conducted over the last decade or so. It should be able to tell us now what it is that needs to change in public service delivery. And an instrument like this doesn't do that. It essentially relies on people to volunteer, to take early retirement. It's very hard to avoid your more experienced and qualified people saying, well, now's the right time to step into another career. And so the risk is you lose the people you don't want to lose, and you don't actually end up saving any money because you've got to replace them.
And that's the critical risk, as you rightly say. It's retention of critical skill, cutting costs on the one hand. If I'm hearing you correctly, it's not really practical or difficult to be practical about retaining expertise, but at the same time encouraging early retirement, because a lot of people will just say, well, you know, show me the money.
Yes, and let's give a practical example. I mean, we all know we need a lot more engineers in municipalities, and that's, well, you're not going to solve that problem by offering early retirement to people. You solve that problem by recruiting engineers, and there may well be parts of the local government, municipal, public service that needs to be phased out or restructured. I certainly think that's possible. I can give lots of examples. I write about the CETAs, for example, which seem to me to be 21 organizations we could well do without, and we should concentrate our resources on improving colleges, which provide vocational education, not this rather strange intermediated skills funding system. But the real point simply is, you know, analyze what needs to be done and make decisions. As Trevor Manuel always used to say, you know, government is about making choices, and you're not really making choices if you're offering a blunt instrument like this that can be taken up right across the public service.
Andrew, I'm wondering if you could sharpen that blunt instrument, though. Is there a flip side to the argument? We're sitting with a 45% youth unemployment rate at the moment. Many of those young South Africans are suitably qualified. Does this not perhaps open the pipeline for new blood?
Well, let's take a practical example of what might be done for youth employment. The presidential employment stimulus introduced in 2020 created 250 to 300,000 jobs for young people in schools, assisting teachers with early foundational reading and mathematics teaching, better security in schools, recreational and sporting activities in the afternoons. That's 300,000 jobs a year. And this year, the program's not going to happen because the Treasury decided to try to fund it in some peculiar way through the UIF, and it turns out not to be possible to do it that way. That is a huge blunder. We all need to be saying, that's a program that works. Keep going with it. It's a small fraction of the overall education budget, and it contributes to better activities in schooling, in addition to giving young people their first work opportunity. That's the sort of thing we should be talking about.
A lot of this is driven by entities like the National Skills Fund and also the plethora of CETAs that we have. I know that there's going to be a review as far as that particular process is concerned. Would reform in that particular respect make these programs more effective and therefore, again, open the pipeline for the right people coming through to do the right jobs, if you understand what I mean?
Yes, well, the Skills Fund has been reviewed several times before. The Treasury itself has done some reviews. I think all the evidence points to the fact that this is an ineffective way of promoting training. The CETAs themselves are quite expensive bureaucracies. I think that the whole act should be abandoned. And I'll tell you what the problem with the skills and CETA system is. It organizes oversight of training on a sectoral basis. But vocational education, businesses are not organized that way. Businesses don't need to be reporting to an operation in Johannesburg or Pretoria that looks after the training needs of the entire sector. Businesses need to talk to their local colleges. They need to be engaged with the curriculum development in the colleges, and many of them are in the private sector, but there are public and private sector colleges. In Western Cape here, for example, we have excellent training facilities in the film and video environment and in advertising. We have the best chef training programs in the country. That's the partnerships between businesses and local colleges are the key to better training development. Abandon the CETAs. You don't want to organize these things sectorally.
Can I bring it back to the original premise of our conversation, which is this early retirement initiative? They want to chop off a huge amount of money from the bloated public sector wage bill. If early retirement is not necessarily the answer, is there a better way to do it? Is there another instrument at our disposal?
Well, I think the first starting point is this idea of a bloated civil service. Our public employment is not all that high by international comparison relative to the overall economy, and it has not grown faster than overall employment or the economy over the last decade or so. And in many areas, policing, health services, education, we need more people, not less. But then you have to look at the salary structure. And I think the minister has rightly put under the spotlight the structure of pay in the medical field, in the health field, where the occupational dispensations which were introduced 15 years ago have turned out to be quite expensive. And let's also be honest, we can't afford the kind of things that Parliament is, we're told, about to do, which is raise the salaries of cleaning staff in Parliament to levels that are higher than those of nurses or policemen. Well, that is just a terrible mistake. And so you do have to put the spotlight on the remuneration system, and you've got to find the things that need to be fixed. And a blunt instrument like a general early retirement package just isn't part of that menu, it seems to me.
Momentarily, Andrew, I was getting very excited about the prospect of early retirement, but you've hit me over the head with a blunt instrument. Thank you very much for talking to me tonight. I do appreciate your time. That's Dr. Andrew Donaldson, Senior Research Associate at the Southern Africa Labour and Development Research Unit based at the University of Cape Town.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.